Man, that was a shoot.
Yeah, that's full-blown shooting.
Since you want to shoot, cowboy!
And now, the Real Shoot Wrestling Podcast.
Real Shoot Wrestling, episode number 11.
Woo! 1-1.
Alright, I am Gabe Jones.
Tim Cross.
We have got a special guest tonight. He is RSW's
GM. What up, guys?
What's your name?
BJ, of course. Give us a little bit of some background on you, how long you've been a fan, what made you a fan, who's your favorite wrestler?
Originally, I became a fan when I was 3 years old. I stopped my parents when they were watching television because I saw The Ultimate Warrior. And pretty much ever since then, and I've noticed I have a weird, like, I always favor the person that wears face paint. But I'd have to say one of my favorites of all time anyways has to be Macho Man or Sting. You know,
don't tell person. John Starkey that you're an Ultimate Warrior fan.
I know.
Anyway. Yeah, so the main reason we have BJ, we're just going to lead off with it. We have been doing a...
Now, hold on here. How many, like, entries were there for this?
There were 20 in this one.
20 in this one.
Okay.
And we had a bunch of people
hit us up
afterwards.
But what is it? I didn't get to introduce it.
No, but this is what's coming at you.
Okay.
You're going to do it right now, but
right.
You messed it up. I was queuing you up for it.
I was going to
And yet you messed it up. So okay. Here we go again. Rewind it.
All right. So, we had this thing this month called the Real Shoot Wrestling...
Quiz Up Tournament.
Okay. You want to talk about that a little bit, BJ?
Basically, Quiz Up is an app that you can download. It has tons of categories that give you general trivia questions, and they can range whatever the specific topic is. Some are very simple, some are very intricate. But a few of the members started playing and started posting up their scores and creating their little rivalries and stuff, so decided to host a tournament through RSW where they would play each other in a best 2 out of 3 matches, and they would move on in a double elimination tournament. We had 20 entrants, and as Tim said earlier, we had I had almost 10, maybe more people message me during that weekend wanting in on it, so they're going to be in on the next. We had our finals today, right before
the show.
Started up, yeah.
We couldn't bring it live to you via the page, but here are the results for the finals in the championship.
Your first champion.
Yeah, your first champion
Well,
of RSW Quiz Up Challenge.
The champion of the first tournament, the inaugural tournament, is Roger Penlin.
Congratulations.
Roger... got the best of me. I know he's a formidable opponent.
He's one of the best in the world right now on that app. Like, not even in our state. Like, the last time I checked, which he might have already surpassed that, he was like number 2 to a guy in Brazil.
Yeah, but he's way behind that guy in Brazil.
Yeah.
And that's nothing against Penland, but that guy must do nothing. Like, he doesn't even sleep.
No.
Because he's like... he's like 60,000 points ahead of Penland.
Yeah.
And Penland's second.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep pushing forward, Penland, and represent the world, Real Shoot Wrestling.
Yeah, guys, and if you want to get on the Facebook page, if you're not on it already, check us out on Real Shoot Wrestling on Facebook if you want to be a part of the next tournament. We're going to have one each month.
No. It'll alternate a little bit.
Okay.
Next month... The scores reset tomorrow.
All right.
Because it'll be June 1st. So since Penland won this for the whole month...
I have a way better idea of what you're about to talk about for the next type of tournament.
Okay.
So first of all, let's not have a tournament because we're going to introduce the Fantasy League.
Right.
In July after the split.
Okay.
But what we're going to do is between the three of us, I think we should play a couple different wrestling categories on Quiz Up and pick one and then tell them the day of the tournament that's the category. So they don't have time to get an idea of how they're doing it, and it's fair to everyone. Because a lot of those guys played a whole bunch before this started, where others didn't really have the time to do so. So I feel like that makes it really fair.
Okay.
But that'll happen down the road.
So are you wanting to make a category for the whole thing or each match?
No, we'll just pick a random category, and it'll be the whole thing.
Okay.
Because who cares if by the end of the tournament you know how it rolls? That's fine, because everybody else does, because everybody got introduced to it at the same time. It's just, you know, this time it won't be, hey, join up, and you've already got practiced on it, and you already know how it happens, and then you have a routine of it. But that's kind of what this that's kind of what this is.
I like that.
So,
all right, well, we'll figure that out, and definitely get on our Facebook page, and we'll announce that whenever that happens. But we got to get to Monday Night Raw. You say it was a good show. I'm not so sure it was that great of a show, but...
What was bad about it?
Well, it started out with the Shane and Stephanie addressing the brand extension.
Yeah,
thought that was great.
And yeah, I mean, it started out okay. The New Day came out. What show are we on, Raw, SmackDown? And they're like, okay, we're not sure what show you're on, but let's dance. And that was it. That's how the segment ended.
It's New Day.
There was no payoff. Stephanie didn't even dance.
What did Dusty Rhodes do when he was in the WWE?
I guess but...
They were leading up to as though they were going to dance to find out who the GM was. They were going to have a dance-off for that.
Yeah.
But that got interrupted by the Vaudevillains. What are you going to do?
I guess so. But I guess the main thing that people took away from Raw was the John Cena AJ Styles confrontation, where Cena came out like a robot and did the American I love America, let me do a Hulk Hogan promo here before AJ
Styles.
The heel
promo for the rest of the world.
Yeah, and then he cut a heel promo on the new era people that Sheamus is pretty much doing the same gimmick he's doing, like, you've got to come through me. I just don't like John Cena that much.
I know you don't. So that's why it's like, I mean, what do you want me to say? I'm just letting you do your thing. Because, you know,
what did you think of the segment?
I thought it was a good segment. I have to admit that my reaction to when he turned, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry
it was
about
good.
That. I thought it was awesome. It got the point across, and it's something cool that can go to where it's like, you know, it just doesn't have to be, you know, AJ into the IC
I
picture or something
like that. I think
this
is a short-term thing until, I mean, this is just until the brand extension that they're needing something to fill in here. I don't think this is a long-term.
I don't see it being long-term. I see it being...
Especially since the club is probably going to end up doing something outside of that.
Yeah.
They attacked the New Day, so...
Yeah, but, I mean... That's the only thing I'm just kind of unsure about. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't either. That's why I was really confused last night.
Yeah. But I don't see that as a bad thing.
Okay.
I think you see it as a bad thing.
What did you
thing.
Think of the segment, BJ?
Well, I at first, of course, you know, me being a big TNA person and an AJ fan, I of course marked out, was like, all right, we're going to have the face of TNA versus the face of WWE, regardless on if he left or not, he was the face of TNA.
Sure.
But, you know, that would work. I was excited for it. I was like, all right, that's great. And then the turn... Which, you know, some people saw coming. I wondered why he was wearing black and white when he first came out.
Yeah.
But I thought they were going to stick with that club breakup thing. But when they didn't, I think that works even better.
Yeah.
Like, because you can still get that AJ good guy versus Cena good guy feud sometime later. And you can make it more worthwhile than just a fight.
But see, this is the thing. It isn't a Cena good guy, AJ good guy. This is WWE's boy... versus Internet's
outsider.
Boy.
Yeah.
An outsider's view of who should be a world champion. Because, and, you know, there's nothing wrong
so
with
kind of
seeing
a troll
him
thing.
As that. So it could also be a troll thing in the long run too, just where, you know, hey, you know, you're gonna get your enjoyment here and there, but in the long run, I'm gonna be the one that gets the last laugh because I control it.
Ooh.
I'm not gonna let my boy, yeah, you know. But at the same time, this could also push AJ to being liked even more. You know, like there are a lot of people that literally just don't like him because his soccer mom haircut.
Yeah,
like literally.
Yeah,
like that's how some people are with wrestling.
My general concern is the long term. I don't know how this will benefit AJ in the long run, especially if Cena goes over. I mean, he's going to go over in his first match back.
Well, I hope people listened, like people in the back listened when they came out and were first talking.
They
because
don't
yeah, but that AJ Cena chant, yeah, like I haven't heard something that crazy in a while.
Yeah.
Like,
I do think that lasted a very long time.
That was really good
for them doing,
yeah,
what they did. They just stood there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
probably the moment for me where I was like, oh, this is, like, honestly, I don't see a problem with this match, and I think that's why it is short-term, because this isn't, like, a match where it's like, this person gets this, and this person gets that. Like, this is a dream match.
Yeah.
Like, people want to see this, regardless of what they say, and, oh, I hate Cena, and why would you put him with AJ Styles, and blah, blah, blah. No, it'll be a good match.
Yeah, in a vacuum, it'll be a good match. I'll admit
that.
And
it is a dream match, so it doesn't matter the outcome. It doesn't hurt anybody. AJ Styles is AJ Styles. It's not going to hurt AJ Styles to lose to...
I don't think it will either, and he's
not
somebody that needs...
Because I think it's almost to the point to where people just don't give a shit if they lose to Cena anymore because they have so much hate for Cena that it doesn't hurt them. That's why I think KO didn't get buried the way everybody thought he was going to be. No, he's not. I think that's the thing, is Cena's so over with so many people that they just don't even care anymore. And even when he beats someone or loses to someone, like the loss was a big deal. But when he beats somebody, everybody's just like, that's what happens, you know? So it doesn't even help him anymore.
Hmm.
It's only going to help wrestling for him to start losing a lot more, and I think that's what's going to happen.
I doubt that, but we'll see.
Automatic. I knew it was automatically coming out of your mouth as soon as it said it.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. Not until... Because especially if they separate Reigns and Cena in the brain extension... I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, no matter what, they're apart from each other because they're keeping Charlotte and Reigns on both shows.
Yeah. So we haven't got a chance, I can't talk, to talk about the brain extension yet. They announced last week SmackDown will be live on Tuesday nights now. That might change what
July
night.
July 19th, I think.
Yeah, that might change when we do our podcast every week.
We might change to another night.
But
it'll be more info on a show.
Yeah.
So it'll be better, I think.
Do you think this is a good... We've talked about it over the course of the last few weeks.
I think this is a great thing, and one of the main reasons is because it's live.
Yeah, definitely.
Plain and simple. But I also think that they need to make it way different from one another because you're going to give them... 2 nights in a row, all the time, 2 hours of wrestling at least, at both nights. One, you're getting three. One, you're getting two. You need to make sure that it's...
There needs to be a distinction.
Yeah. It needs to be like, oh, I need to watch Raw tonight. Oh, I need to watch SmackDown tonight. Like it used to be, oh, I need to watch WWE tonight. Oh, I need to watch WCW tonight.
What do you think, BJ?
I mean, I think it's great, too. Back when they originally split, they were always on, like, UPN.
Yeah.
Or were they on the CW at one point before it was, like, a major thing?
Yeah, it's definitely a big deal. It's on USA.
Yeah, and it wasn't live. Like, I missed a lot of the people during that time because
we didn't have the TV.
Yeah, that's what's funny. There's a lot of good wrestling during those times of it just being on crap channels.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a big deal, and I'm surprised they didn't go to it sooner when they moved to USA earlier this year, but... I think one of the weird things that people are talking about is possibly NXT going away, which I don't think will happen, but I think this will cause a lot of call-ups for sure because they'll need roster depth.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some guys do you think they'll call up for this?
In no particular order, I see Mojo going. I see Nakamura going. I see
Mojo Rawley?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's the first name you said. That's just surprising.
Well, just because he's surprising.
Okay.
But I see him being there. Like I said, Nakamura, Aries, Hideo Itami's coming back soon. He's going straight up.
Okay.
Finn will be there. Nia Jax will be there. I think the Revival. I think I saw something like that.
Okay.
I even think I saw the Traveler himself on a list.
The Drifter?
Yeah, the Drifter, whatever the hell his name
Elias
is.
Elias Sampson.
Sampson.
Yeah. So
there's gonna be a lot.
I don't think NXT's going away because they've got a show before SummerSlam that they've gotta sell. If I remember correctly.
Is that in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
That got canceled.
Well, no. They took it off, and then they put up a response today saying that it was only taken off because of the old logos and stuff, and that they were
They usually
doing
don't
something.
Start selling those tickets till the last takeover pay-per-view happens.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think that's going away. That's a moneymaker for them.
I think it's just a situation of blown out of proportion when
sure.
it comes to the whole, like...
And they just announced other dates in July, so...
Yeah.
And another reason why they got to keep it at Full Sail is that's how they get the developmental guys over. I mean, you're not going to get those guys over in front of a new audience every week the way that they have been.
Nobody would have bought No Way Jose.
No. You wouldn't have been able to get the Revival over or, you know, a couple
of
those guys.
I like the Revival.
I do, too. I'm just saying, I don't think that they would have a chance on the main roster unless they're the Colognes going to Puerto Rico.
Jesus Christ.
Do you still defend that?
When did I defend it?
You defended it the last time we talked about it. You said it was good.
I didn't say it was good. I said, what are you going to do with it?
You can release them the next time you have roster cuts.
I mean, it's just somebody that, for some reason, they want to keep putting back out there, and they do it. What the hell are we going to do about it?
All right, so... We did talk about NXT going away. They do have a show coming up next week with some pretty big matches. We should go over those matches real quick.
Real quick. We should take our time.
Okay. Well, okay. The first NXT cage match ever, Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe.
Yeah, well, we should start talking about the main event first off.
That's what I just decided to do, all right?
I am very excited about it because, you know, it'll be a first... cage in there, so that'll be cool. I hate to say it, but I'm just kind of over Finn.
Well, I think this will be his last match in NXT. I've said that a couple times now, but
yeah, I think it is too, but it's just like,
you know what I think will happen. I think honestly that Joe will win and Nakamura will win his match and they will headline the Brooklyn show, Joe and Nakamura.
Dude, that would be sick.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would sell that place out just for that match alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In Brooklyn?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, BJ?
I know Joe will win.
Okay.
There's no point in Finn getting the title back.
Yeah, I've got Joe winning, too. I agree that it's probably the last time we see Finn in NXT, and as he said, being over Finn, I'm not, but I'm over this version of Finn.
He has
I want to see the bigger scale Finn.
Yep.
Okay.
To bring back either him with the club or the demon or something.
I liked the rock and roll version whenever he was doing the light up coat in Japan.
Yeah, that should be a fun rivalry if that ever happens on the main roster.
He stopped wearing his
Balor
coat, which I think is pretty funny.
Well,
I just think it's funny.
Okay. All right, women's title match, Nia Jax versus Asuka.
I hope Asuka goes to try to knock her the fuck out. Sorry for my language, but knock her the fuck out. I can't stand Nia Jax.
I don't really care for her either.
Yeah, she's just been pushed by her size right now more than anything, I feel.
Which isn't good. Like, what are they trying to get across? They make her look weird. Like, she looks like a dinosaur with a woman's head.
I could see that. Well, it's like when they had, it's like when TNA had Awesome Kong, like,
yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
Well, at the beginning of that, like, Awesome Kong could go, like, her and Gail Kim had great matches back in the day, but like,
and Kong legit scared you.
Yeah, but she wasn't new. She wasn't like Nia Jax's. Oh, here I am now.
She also wasn't The Rock's cousin.
Yeah,
that has a lot to do with it for sure. All right, so the tag team title match, American Alpha versus The Revival. I think this was another.
Alpha keeps the belts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another retain.
I don't even know in which scenario I can root against American Alpha right now.
No. I think they're one of the most over tag teams in the whole company right now, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they're amazing. When I first saw Gable, I'm like, who is.
Yeah.
But now he's just so smooth at everything he does, promos, wrestling,
those two mesh well together.
Yes, like it was the perfect
even
match.
Down to the gear.
Yeah,
really good.
Like they match in every way possible anymore, and it's awesome.
All right, so I think this is probably one of the perfect shows to bring back Hideo Itami and interject him. I don't know where he will go because I mean, you and I talked about he would end up going against Finn Balor, but if that's his last show, where do you think that would take him?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, right now, WWE as a whole is just a whole...
It's a question mark.
It's a huge question mark. Between the draft and who's going to be what and who's going to be doing, you know, whatever and what they're doing with NXT, it's just like it's a whole big, like, throw your hands up in the air until the end of July right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say if they bring him back to interject him into I'm going for the person who took me out, I think it'll be Finn, and if they decide to do that, I think he'll cost Finn the match.
Maybe.
Because even if it's Finn's ending, that way while Joe wins, he doesn't dominantly beat Finn.
And plus, both of them are supposed to be going to the main rosters.
Yeah.
So take that into the main roster.
That's true. Yeah, I thought maybe possibly they would blow that off at the night before SummerSlam, and then that would be Finn's last match.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if he doesn't get drafted till July, and that's his debut. I don't know. Like we said, everything's a question mark right now, which is good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the summer usually is a time where everything's bland, but this kind of spices things up a little bit.
Yeah, it's, you know, because they look at it as it's hard to keep people inside, you know. But it's Monday night. It's after the weekend. They had their first day of work. You know, they want to stay home, so give them something entertaining to watch, you know.
Speaking of entertaining to watch, Ricochet, Will Ospreay, the controversy.
Hey, be careful here. Be careful
internet
here.
Internet controversy of the week.
You might make someone mad and
this
they
is,
might get a boner and put it on their Twitter.
This is arguably probably the most over non-WWE match that I can remember in a long time. Because, I mean, it's gone viral, honestly. And New Japan Pro Wrestling, you can actually go to their website and watch that match for free.
For free, yeah.
So that's smart for them. Everyone is saying... Well, not everyone, but the biggest thing is Vader. Do you want to talk about Big Van Vader? What he said?
Fuck Vader.
Okay. Not my words. If you're listening, Vader.
No, Vader, if you're listening, fuck you. And if you want to say something to me, you can go to our page at Real Shoot Wrestling and message me.
Vader, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
And we can talk about that. And we can talk about this because this is ridiculous. And you bad-mouthing something that is helping the sport that you were a part of at one time, getting different viewers and keeping viewers. When's the last time you heard a Japanese crowd say, holy shit?
Yeah.
A Japanese crowd. They don't talk anyway, let alone do an American chant. So who cares what you personally like? The people that paid money that night in that arena were as happy as they could be. So who cares?
Honestly, I think it got blown out of proportion because that little segment that's on the internet that people are watching is that first 2 minutes of the match, but right after that, the rest of the match is just a regular yeah. match that was a very good match.
Yeah.
And also people don't understand that, you know, they're flipper floppers. Well, yeah, they do that because they are smaller.
Yeah.
So
that's their tie up.
And in the psychology of their situation, if you add a flip to something or a rotation to a move, it adds more power to it. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a video game. And that's the best way to look at Japanese wrestling, is it's kind of like a video game. You can save up and hit your extra power button at any point in time.
Yeah.
And that's just the way does it make sense to you because you like WWE wrestling? No. Does it make sense to you because you like Lucha Libre? Maybe not. But to Japan and that crowd and the people that understand that, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
So who cares?
And there's more
when there's people that's happy.
And there's people now that know about New Japan that didn't know about it before. This was on the cover of Yahoo.com.
Exactly. That match. There's people that know now Ricochet and and Willio, as you wanted to say.
Will Ospreay. What did you think about the match, PJ?
I thought it was great. I actually just caught it this morning, just due to everything over the busyness. Crazy weekend. But, I thought it was great. And I watched the one that they did. Was it Evolve that they did weeks ago?
Similar thing at
Evolve. I watched that one, too. Yeah. And, you know, I know that spot. They redid that one spot with the backflips. But other than that, I thought it was great. Vader's issue of saying that it's supposed to tell a story. Well, you're in the middle of a tournament. And it's about the spirit of competition. I mean... That's what three-fourths of the old six-side original TNA was. It was about the competition of the match. That's a story itself.
Exactly, and that's what a tournament is, and that's what that was. They were bringing everything they possibly could to it, and that's how it resulted in the way that it was.
Not to, you know, be sympathetic to Vader or anything, but I think he just saw, like, this one segment or this one spot and not realize the concept of what was going on and just spoke before he researched.
I understand that.
No, but he's just an old fuck.
Well, he is. He did wrestle in New Japan, so he knows this stuff. But anyway, this tournament is not over yet if you guys want to check this out. What's the tournament called, Tim? The Super Juniors tournament?
The Super J Cup.
Super J Cup, okay.
It's a Super Junior... Super Juniors tournament that they have every year, which they think is the best overall juniors. Now, this year, it's been amazing so far, but at the same time, with WWE doing their Cruiserweight Classic, they kind of took some of them, you know, people that would be a part of the J-Cup.
And the Young Bucks were hurt, too.
I will get into later the good out of that situation.
Okay.
Later in the podcast.
All right. So one other thing I wanted to touch on before we go to our match of the week was this crazy Hatch promo that had so much hype. And
the fact that you're talking about this pisses me off.
Well, I just want to say that it was so hyped. This was another part of Raw that was so hyped and kind of fell short. But
you have no idea how mad.
But the reason why it's worth talking about is because the video game is a big deal to people.
It's a huge deal to me. I love the video game.
Yeah, it is.
I know Baker loves the video game.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think there shouldn't be a reason why we don't do something page related with the video game this time around, maybe for a release or something.
Okay.
So be on the lookout for that in November.
For those of you that didn't see, Goldberg is going to be part of the game. You guys can go play Goldberg versus Ryback for your fantasy needs if you need to.
Who knows if Ryback will be on it by then?
That's true.
Might have to create a wrestler.
But all I'm saying is, why do we care about Goldberg? Literally, first of all, Goldberg is the easiest creator wrestler to ever do. In the history of creating a wrestler.
It's just a way to sell a game. That's all
it
is.
I know it's a way to sell a game, but give me something else.
Did you see that they...
You have a contract with New Japan. Do you realize how many sales you would get if you put something New Japan related on it?
Did you see that they didn't air that in the UK? And there's like, everyone in the UK still has no idea what it is.
What?
Yeah, someone tweeted at us from the UK and they're like, yeah, they didn't air the promo in the UK.
Oh, wow.
So
I really thought, like, they were going to make it something bigger. And just from, like, I don't know, I guess a creative writing perspective. They announced right before this commercial, they announced that it's a six-man tag of six these seven Money in the Bank people. And I'm like, oh, man, like, whatever is in the hatch is just going to, like, wreck them and be the mystery seventh entrant. And then it's Goldberg. And I'm like, damn it. Like,
maybe
you had
Goldberg's the seventh entrant.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Could be.
I hope not.
I really would like to see him climb up the ladder.
No. I want to see them hold off on Ryback.
Okay. And kill him at SummerSlam, Goldberg?
That or WrestleMania.
Okay, I guess so.
That is the only way.
I could see that happening
to let
Goldberg.
If you want Goldberg to win, the only way to let it happen.
He's probably, part of this deal is probably the Hall of Fame, I would think. And I could see something like
this
that.
This is more than likely a Sting type of deal.
Yeah. But I think instead of a match like Sting versus Triple H, they'll have something like the Austin Foley Shawn spot did. Something more like that.
I don't know.
Not an actual match. I can only hope, because if we get...
We'd get a six-second match like The Rock.
Maybe he'll come out and destroy the Puerto Rico commercial.
Oh, my God,
that'd be
great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so match of the week. I'm going back...
Oh, wait a minute.
What,
it's not even Tom. Yeah.
What?
Okay, first of all, Cody Rhodes put an amazing list up online this week of many different opponents of things he wants to check off.
So did Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett did Papa Shango. Yeah, way to go, Wade Barrett. But honestly, though, if I was a booker, I'd be trying to make that happen.
I'm sure there's probably some fire to that smoke.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But he made a list, and it was pretty cool. There was... Adam Cole was on it, and Chris Hero was on it. The Young Bucks were on it. He wanted that streamer thing done.
Yeah.
And
personal
he also put,
announcer.
Which I think is going to be his wife, okay. and is going to be part of his new gimmick. So that was really cool.
And he put a specific date, too. He said, like, after August 21st, after the 90-day no compete.
But his first match announced as of right now is against Angle.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
I hope that goes televised somewhere.
As James Knight says, that could be a 5-star Matt Classic.
It could be. And the thing that intrigues me the most is Ring of Honor's in Pittsburgh the month after that in September.
Are, yep.
So that could be a big show if Cody's on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I was marking out over the fact that the number two on his list was like Dalton Castle. I was like, all right. Yeah.
Did you see that the Young Bucks tweeted at him and asked him Bullet Club?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was pretty
They
funny.
Also tweeted at AJ Styles and said that they forgave him after last night.
Yeah,
Didn't they also like send a modified list out where it was just Superkick?
Superkick, yeah.
Like all the way down the page?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So there's that.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
Not right.
He's along for the ride.
Yeah. He's along for the ride right now. Which how's the ride been?
Oh, it's been great. I've been on RSW's version of Ride Along. It's been fantastic. All
right. Table
right,
of three here.
Because you were the you were kind of one of the originators of the promo on the page when you weren't selected to be a guest.
I just one night I was sitting at work and I was just like, man, like. We've already done all this stuff, and I'm still
this
just sitting here. Like...
Mostly okay. My Cicada one was okay, I guess.
Which, by the way, some of the promos that were put up for this quiz was entertaining.
Yeah, they were.
Some were horrible, and some were absolutely funny.
I think in the future we should have something to do with promos. But I'm not going to commit to that. We'll see.
Okay. And. I announced today on the page, which is Real Shoot Wrestling on Facebook. You can also go to Twitter, RSW
Podcast.
Yeah, and same for Instagram, RSW Podcast, that there was going to be a big announcement. The big announcement is next Monday I will be sitting down and having a conversation with Kevin Sullivan. The older fans of wrestling will know who that is. If you don't know who that is, well, you have the internet at your fingertips.
WWE
so
Network.
Go find out for yourself. And pretty much he was the booker for WCW. Mm-hmm. He was the leader of the Dungeon of Doom. He was tag partners with Bray Wyatt's dad in the Varsity Club in the NWA. He was in a huge feud with Chris Benoit. And what are you laughing for? And he was actually with the woman that later became Chris Benoit's wife, that is now passed.
Yes.
From the situation with Chris Benoit. And I have been told that we can pretty much ask and talk about whatever we want. So
are you going to ask this about week, Benoit?
This week on Twitter and on the Facebook, feel free to send us your questions.
Okay.
So what I want to do is RSW Ask Kevin. Hashtag RSW Ask Kevin. And we will try to get your question to Kevin Sullivan. Anything you want. I have been told that he can do a very juicy interview. And for the old timers, this could be pretty interesting. So please don't hesitate and feel free to ask, and I will try to get your questions across. So that'll be next Monday. I also have a lot of other interviews lined up. In the future, we will be having Jason Kincaid, which is getting ready to do a weekend of ROH. I have JT Dunn, which is tag team partners with Chris Hero. He is out of the Rhode Island area. We also have Frankie Screams, which runs Strong Style brand, a wrestling clothing company, and sings for a band. Other locals like Chance Prophet lined up, Matt Connor. We'll have TJ Phillips back on again. And I have a couple other names that I'm trying to get a hold of that I think would be really interesting to sit down with and talk to. So, but next, is it this week or next week we're going to start with your interview?
We're going to have it at the end of this podcast. I was going to introduce that at the end. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
But we'll talk about that at the end.
Yes.
We do have our first interview coming up at the end. But yeah, we'll have an official Facebook post probably sometime this weekend where you guys can ask us any questions to ask Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Should be a good interview. If Tim doesn't end up in a headlock by Kevin Sullivan at the end.
No, well, I've been told I like everything that Kevin Sullivan likes that night.
Oh, okay. All right. So, match of the week. This is exciting.
You know who we should start with?
Who, BJ? BJ. You have a match of the week?
First time? Wait, give me that match of the week.
I do have a match of the week.
Even though I want to choke him out for this match of the week.
It's in honor of passing of TNA's worst month of the year. History-wise, a year ago, this month was when they got kicked off of Destination America.
Okay.
11 years ago is when they got canceled off Fox Sports Net and had to do like their web series for a while.
Okay.
And this particular week in 2009, this is my match of the week, is at Sacrifice, the main event, which was Mick Foley as their world champion versus Jeff Jarrett versus Kurt Angle versus Sting, and what I believe is like the most convoluted main event match they could have possibly made with the talent they had.
Better than Sting versus Jeff Hardy.
It lasted about 20 minutes longer too, but it was whoever got pinned, a different result happened, and it was like, if Mick Foley got pinned, he lost the title. If Sting got pinned, he had to retire. If Jeff Jarrett got pinned, he lost half control of the company. And if Kurt Angle got pinned, he was currently the leader of the Main Event Mafia, he would have to give up his leadership of the Godfather role. And, like, the entire match, you know, not to spoil the finish, go and watch it, but, like, everything looks like it's building up for different reasons. There's one point where Mick Foley's setting on commentary, watching the match, saying, you know, well, I kind of want this person to win if it's not this person. And there's no way no one will hurt me because I'm next to you two guys. And that was kind of funny. But, like,
where TNA story writing at its best.
Yeah. Where it's leading to, and then what happens in, like, the last 30 seconds of that match, you're just like, why? Like, why was the decision made to do this? And, yeah, I was just like, come on, TNA. Like,
mine is much more simpler than that, I promise. It is a tag team match from Raw number 212. Okay. This was 19 years ago this weekend.
Living on that network.
June 2nd, 1997, from good old West by God, Virginia, in Huntington. The Road Warriors versus Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and Shawn Michaels.
What about this match was your match of the week?
The main reason is it was in West Virginia, of course, and it's just a unique matchup. I mean, when have you ever heard of the Road Warriors versus Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels? And it was in West Virginia.
Hey.
And the anniversary of it is this week, so
that's awesome.
There you go.
There you go. So that doesn't mean it's an actual good match. It just means it has a lot of sentimental situations for this week.
It has some good storyline in it. It's not the greatest match, no. I think it ends in count out.
A count out?
Yeah. So, Tim, what is your match of the week?
Well, I can't pick a match of the week. I'm just going to put over the whole Super J Cup tournament because there was a match between, and this is where it was a cool situation. The Young Bucks couldn't come because they were injured.
Right.
Finlay's son, David, filled in for one of the Bucks and had an amazing match with Ospreay.
Ospreay,
or, you know, whatever. He yells motherfucker during the match. Like,
okay. Yeah. So, okay, yeah.
So, because honestly, with, like, I didn't, like, I loved, like, the match.
Yeah.
But I liked the match with him and Finlay better, personally. But there was Chase Owens and Liger was amazing, and Tiger Mask and Ricochet was amazing. It was just... So the whole tournament for me so far is just over. Just go and watch as much of it as you can, and you won't be disappointed.
Finals are this weekend, I believe.
Yeah.
All right, wrestler of the week, BJ.
Well, you know, every week I want to say Kevin Owens, but I'm actually going to give it to AJ this week just because I've seen AJ, of course, try to do the heel role.
Yeah.
And there are times where it's been pretty decent, but most of the time it always feels kind of forced. Uh-huh. But yet, this one didn't at all. Like, I really enjoyed...
You even got some cardio in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that rampway got a workout. Everybody trying to get like their steps in,
like,
on their Fitbits.
It was like a treadmill. It was like a treadmill.
Between him and Rollins.
Yeah. Yeah, so my wrestler of the week is Ricochet. Because of that great match. Not only because of that great match, but he also had a great match on Lucha Underground last week as Prince Puma. Unfortunately, he lost the Trios Championship with Rey Mysterio and Dragon Azteca Jr.
They get a rematch this week, though.
But that was a killer match on last week's Lucha Underground, so that's two good matches in a week. I think that's good enough for Wrestler of the Week for me.
Oh, yeah, you can't beat that. But the fact that Jack Evans and Johnny Mundo,
PJ Black
are now your trios champions. That's, I think, is a good. I think that's a good move on their part.
Yeah.
I wish they'd get rid of that girl. She looks like a horse.
Okay.
I know who she's trained by, and I know all about her, and I know she's gonna work, and blah 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 blah.
Is it Evilise?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the blonde.
I don't know.
I forget exactly what her name is, but she. She's trained by Lance Storm, and she's been in Mexico for I don't know how long. But Jesus, the girl just looks like a swamp donkey, and it's the fact that she just looks the way she does. I'm just done with it.
Okay,
like I don't care.
Who's your wrestler of the week?
Funny you said Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens is mine.
Okay,
because just what he said this week on Raw, he was just hilarious. He had a good match. And the reason why it was over for me the most this week is at a house show, he yells, I'm going to show you how dumb Wisconsin is because I'm going to get them to cheer USA while two Canadians are in the ring. And sure enough.
Not even minute into the match.
That's exactly what he got them to do. So, I just...
He can work.
You
a
may
crowd.
Not like him, but he's my perfect kind of heel. He cracks me up without trying to be funny.
The only thing I have issue with is he needs to embrace Michael Cole instead of hate on him. If he's a true heel, I mean, wouldn't that be hilarious if he came out and Michael Cole was his guy?
Kind of like The Miz with Michael Cole,
yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so to end the show, we have our first interview, and as we've promised, we're going to talk more about this WWE Cruiserweight show that's going to be on this summer. We have an interview with a guy from Middle Kingdom Wrestling. His name is Adrian Gomez. Middle Kingdom Wrestling is actually in China, and they had one of the qualifying matches to the Cruiserweight Challenge Open thingamajig, whatever it's called now.
For WWE?
Yeah. And
the Cruiserweight Classic.
The Cruiserweight Classic.
The CWC.
Classic.
Sounds like a horrible spin-off TV channel.
Okay, and a wrestler named Ho-Ho Loon qualified for the Cruiserweight Classic, and he will be on the show. He's from Middle Kingdom Wrestling, so we talked about that. So enjoy this interview, and you guys have a good week. All right, so I'm here with Adrian Gomez from Middle Kingdom Wrestling. Adrian, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Gabe?
I'm doing pretty good. This is a special interview because Middle Kingdom Wrestling. Where is that located at, Adrian?
Well, I'm located in Harbin, China. Okay. But you know, we run all over the country.
Okay. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow. So how did you get in China?
I got into China pretty much right after college. I took a job as an English teacher.
Okay.
Then I moved around and ended up working in different cities like that in China. And then I had this idea of pro wrestling in China, so that's how that got started.
Cool. How did you get involved with wrestling? What's your background with it?
I would always frequent local indie shows. For example, like when I lived in, I went to school in San Antonio, Texas, and I would help out as much as I could with promotions like ACW Anarchy Championship Wrestling or RCW River City Wrestling. And I would just do everything I could to help out the promoter. Eventually they became more receptive of, you know, letting me do things like maybe commentary or do stuff at the door, that kind of thing. Basically, I was trying to get in anyway. And, you know, after building some relationships with the guys there, they started to be more receptive of me, you know, doing things around the show before showtime and post show. So basically, those little opportunities I had to help with those promoters and wrestlers and drive them around kind of gave me like a real itch to, you know, want to continue to be in the wrestling business no matter where I am. So that itch, combined with the fact that I live in China, I thought maybe this would be a good opportunity.
Mm. What would you say would be some of the biggest differences between pro wrestling in the United States and pro wrestling in China?
I would say some of the biggest differences would probably be just the fact that that pro wrestling is so new here to a lot of people. You know, I mean, there's certainly a very large amount of fandom online for pro wrestling. You can find it. There's a lot of communities on message boards and a lot of websites dedicated to pro wrestling in China. And what they seem to watch based on the communities is, you know, they seem to really, I think NJPW and WWE are the two big ones. Mm. I would probably say that one difference I would say is maybe it could be culturally, but I see that a lot of Chinese pro wrestling fans, maybe they seem to enjoy maybe like some of the more comedic aspects of pro wrestling, kind of like the more slapstick things. So, you know, I would say that Chinese pro wrestling fans seem to be a lot more receptive of like more like silly shenanigans in the ring and that kind of thing.
Okay, so there's obviously a difference between China and United States pro wrestling. What are some things that might not be allowable in China that seem to be allowable in the United States?
Probably the things that are allowed in America, in the American indie scene, you know, like blood and that kind of thing, maybe more risky storylines are not so allowed here in China. Obviously, I would compare what we can do in China to pretty much WWE's PG scene. Mm. I mean, I would compare, I think both are pretty, I mean, like, that's a pretty apt comparison. Personally speaking, I don't feel limited as a promoter, and our guys don't really feel limited. As some of our guys sometimes want to do a few bloody things, but aside from that, the pro wrestling scene in China, I don't feel it's limited, or as far, you know, I am personally not a very political person. Hmm. I don't necessarily want to make political statements with our show. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, personally, it doesn't affect me. I think if I was a promoter in the States or I was a promoter in China, I would still be kind of showing the same kind of product.
Hmm. So you said there's fans of the WWE in China. Who are some guys that Chinese fans like that are in the WWE?
Actually, it's very similar to Western fans.
Really?
You know, the more I guess casual fans, they like John Cena, they like Roman Reigns. While the more hardcore fans on the internet posting on the message boards, they're more into the AJ Styles and those kind of guys.
That's pretty cool. So I guess, I mean, it's almost exactly the same thing as United States fans.
Sure. That's definitely true. Although one thing I can tell you that's a little bit different with Chinese pro wrestling fans is they're not very receptive of the non-WWE and NJPW products. For example, like, they really care about production value, I think. A lot of the comments on, like, for example, if a Ring of Honor show is uploaded. For example, I'll give you an example. There's a Ring of Honor show recently, I think. Wasn't it like Global Wars?
Right, yeah.
It might be. That was Global Wars, okay. And when Global Wars was posted online on Chinese social media, it has, like, negative. It has, like, you know, you can upload, you can upvote a video, yeah?
Right.
And I think it's only, like, half a star to follow.
That's interesting.
And I think what, and I read the comments, and they're always like, oh, the production values are horrible, and this is so stupid, it looks like a barnyard, you know? So, you know, I think one thing that Chinese pro wrestling fans really care about is presentation. They're huge fans of NJPW and WWE's presentation as far as feeling big. They don't really like the more, as far as what they watch online and TV, they prefer the big atmosphere.
Nice. Who are some people that you like personally?
Me personally, I'm a huge fan of a lot of the guys that I've watched live that are now on the WWE. For example, I've seen Kevin Owens live several times as Kevin Steen at local shows. I've seen El Generico, who's now Sami Zayn. I saw him. I've seen him several times in live shows as Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and live shows with Ring of Honor. So I'm huge fans of them. Probably today, Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn. Also, Claudio or Cesaro. Huge fans of those guys. I love to see guys who have really made it
You know, it's a great feeling when I see these guys having awesome matches on WWE pay-per-views and really making money, and people now know who they are. And that's a great feeling. So those guys bring – and, of course, I'd also have to say Daniel Bryan, another guy who I've seen live before several times. In fact, in 2005, I saw him wrestle, which I think was really – really interesting for me when I watched was it 31 or 30 when he won the world
30,
title?
30, yeah.
I think it was 30. Yeah. And I was just thinking, wow, I remember being in a bar watching him wrestle a guy named, what's his name, Skyler, just some local Texas guy. And there was probably less than 30 people in that bar. So I'm just like, I love to see wrestlers make it. So I have special connections with guys that from like the mid and early 2000s on the indie scene who are now in the WWE.
That's awesome. So the main reason I have you on here is because Middle Kingdom Wrestling is actually involved with the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. Talk to us a little bit about that involvement and what exactly that entails.
Well, one of our guys that has wrestled on both the first and second season of Middle Kingdom Wrestling's MKWTV Chinese Pro Wrestling, which is our premier online show on YouTube, his name is Ho Ho Loon. And Ho Ho Loon will be participating in the WWE Global Classic, Cruiserweight Classic, I think it's called,
yeah,
series. And he's one of the participants. I think there are 32, if I'm not mistaken. And he was picked up, and I think he might be one of the only. He's from Hong Kong, but you know, one of the only Chinese guys who will be in the tournament. So that's a real big deal. And Ho Ho Loon's a bit of like a little mini celebrity around here. So it's a real big honor that WWE picked Ho Ho Loon. And on top of that, if you will search Ho Ho Loon, probably the first matches you'll see on YouTube will be Middle Kingdom Wrestling matches. So as far as Ho Ho Loon's pro wrestling career, if you go by YouTube, it's pretty much Middle Kingdom Wrestling. Having said that, though, he is one of the founders of pro wrestling in Hong Kong City. He's been wrestling since he was maybe 2009. He's been trying to get pro wrestling started. He started his own little training gym. He's a huge advocate of pro wrestling in Hong Kong. So, you know, he's pretty much the father of Hong Kong pro wrestling. So because of that, MKW definitely loves to use him in our shows. And I think you guys will really like him when you watch him on, I think the show's in June or July.
Yeah, sometime this summer. Yeah, that's definitely exciting. For those that are American pro wrestling fans, who would you compare him to?
Ah, geez. Well, the thing about Ho Ho Loon is that he's very inspired by Japanese pro wrestling. He's a huge fan of Japan. I think he prefers Japan over WWE style for sure. In fact, he has worked for Zero One. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that
program. Okay.
Zero One, and he managed to get an agreement for Zero One Hong Kong. So now Zero One has a branch in Hong Kong now, and he's the manager of that. So he's very inspired by the Japanese guys who come from Zero One. And as far as his style goes, it's definitely, I can say definitely Japanese style, but he kind of has like a bit of a humor going on in there, and maybe like a Cantonese style humor that I hope can translate pretty well with the American audience in WWE, especially kind of with the way he sells. It's I think it's kind of humorous, and obviously the fans in China and Hong Kong like it. I hope the fans who watch it on the WWE Network will enjoy it. And if you guys like Ho Ho Loon, make sure you check us out on MKWTV. You'll see his matches are usually in the top of the YouTube search selection.
Do you look forward to maybe possibly this bringing a spotlight to MKW that maybe people that haven't seen it before can tune in and find that online, just having that exposure?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, we were featured. Middle Kingdom Wrestling was featured recently on the front page of WrestleZone.com just yesterday. So we really appreciate the exposure that one like Hulu being selected for the WWE Cruiserweight Classic brings to us here at Middle Kingdom Wrestling.
That's cool. Last question. If somebody wants to check out Middle Kingdom Wrestling, where do they go on the internet? Where's a good place to look?
Well, there are several places to look for us. One would be at our website at middlekingdomwrestling.com. We also have our Facebook page, which I hope you guys can log on and give us a like on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/middlekingdomwrestling. We also have a Twitter, so please follow us on Twitter at twitter.com @ Adrian, ADRIANMKW. We also have a Google Plus page, so google.com/Middle Kingdom Wrestling. We also have a Tumblr page. We have exclusive pictures on our Tumblr where you guys can find Middle Kingdom Wrestling. And of course, please check out our YouTube and watch our premiere online show called MKWTV Chinese Pro Wrestling, where we are right now in the middle of our second season, and we are gaining a lot of fans quickly. We launched the show in September of 2015, and we already have 600 subscribers on YouTube, not to mention the subscribers that we have on our Chinese pro wrestling. I'm sorry, on our Chinese social media, like on Youku, we get about 10,000 views per video. So we really pay attention to our international fans and our Chinese pro wrestling fans. Obviously, there's two different social media types, because in China, you know, you have the Weibo, the Weixin, and Youku, and then we also have our YouTubes and Twitters for our international fans. So we try to cater to everybody. So please find us there on any of those websites, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, and so on.
That's awesome. Adrian Gomez from Middle Kingdom Wrestling, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much, Gabe. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.